If you've dedicated yourself to him to do what he says, and you're willing to tithe to wherever you go to church and then give offerings to people that need it and walk holy before God, I will guarantee you, you will not have a need for money. He will give you the knowledge and the wisdom how to provide for yourself or your husband. He'll give him the knowledge and wisdom so you will be able to live in a decent home. Now, you may not be able to live in a $1 million house, but I don't want a $1 million house. I mean, just a little house, you know. I mean, I think of this little apartment or whatever you want to call it that I built for Cheryl and me behind the ministry center here. It's only about 1,200 square feet. It's not that big. It's only one bedroom. It's got one big bathroom and two closets, hers and mine, and then a little living area. And the whole thing cost us less than $35,000 to build. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, it's got carpet. It's got air conditioning. It's got heating. What else could a man need? You know, I mean, you have a bed to sleep in at night. You know, I don't have to worry about having two. I just got one, so that, you know where I'm going to sleep at night. You know, I'm not going to sleep in the other one. I might have to sleep on the floor. I don't know, but whatever. But anyway, I know I'm going to sleep in that house right there. As a result, people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others to meet your financial needs. I like to be a financial blessing to others. I don't want to be a drag on somebody. You know, I'd much rather be able to give than to receive. That's the way I want to be. And so far in the last few years of my life, that's the way God has done it. I've been able to give and not have to worry about anything when it comes to financial needs. The Lord has provided abundantly for us. 13 and 14. In fact, when I told the Lord, if you bring me another woman, she's got to be filthy rich. He brought me that woman. She's now drawing her Social Security. And with my Social Security and her Social Security, we are filthy rich. I mean, good grief. We have no bill. Is that right, honey? I mean, she's always said, oh, my goodness, I got my Social Security check again. I wonder where I'm going to spend it this month. I said, well, why don't you just leave it in the bank? Oh, no, I can't leave it in the bank. I want to spend it. But she knows her electricity and natural gas and her water and the sewer, she knows all those are going to be paid for automatically because she knows I've taken care of that. I'm going to take care of that. So what she gets in Social Security, it's hers to use however she wants to bless whoever she wants to. And she just wonders from month to month, where am I going to put this money this month? But let me tell you what, she always finds a place for it. I'll tell you for sure. And if I'm not careful, she'll get a little from me too on top of all that. So that's okay, praise the Lord. She loves it when I pull her car in and fill it up with gas, you know, and all that stuff for her. She said, gee, this is nice. I used to have to fill my own car up and pay for it myself. Now I don't have to maintain my car. I don't have to worry about paying thousands of dollars for a 3-year maintenance contract. When my car breaks, my husband just knows how to fix it, so he can fix it. And so when your wife submits to the husband, he takes care of all the needs, doesn't he? I guarantee, you know, when you got a good woman and she submits to you in all things like the Lord told her to, she don't have to worry about getting her car fixed. She don't have to worry about keeping it full of gas, because her husband will do it for her. And he usually does. You know, once in a while, she'll call me and say, honey, my car's down on a quarter. You haven't been paying attention. I said, well, I haven't been driving it. You've been driving it. So I have to go out there. And then one morning, she was telling me, I've got to go somewhere. And I said, okay. And she said, my car is way down. And she'd been driving it a lot. But she said, I just really don't want to stop and get gas. Would you take care of it for me? And so I went out there, got the car early that morning, tucked it and filled it up for her, brought it back and left it there, everything. And I thought, and you, this is what a good husband's supposed to do, right, Dan? And she loves it. She loves having a husband that does that. So she don't have a problem submitting to me. When I ask her to do something, no problem. I'll take care of it, honey, no problem. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. Do we believe that? Yes, yes, I do. I believe that. Verse 15 and 16. I tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not rise to meet him ahead of those who are in the grave. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and he will call of the archangels, and with the trumpet call of God, First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Is that going to be an interesting day? Boy, it's going to be an interesting day to see all those guys. Have we ever seen anything like this before in history? Yes. When did this happen? It happened when Jesus was here before. In Matthew 27, verse 52, it says that after Jesus died and went in the tomb and went down into the lowest pits of the earth and defeated the enemy, paid the total price for sins of mankind, then because there was no sin in him, death could not hold him. So he arose from the dead, the victor, and he came back to the earth among living men. And as he came back, as he stepped up on the earth again from the lowest pits, it said all the believing believers, their graves were opened, and those men and women came out of their graves and they walked in the streets of Jerusalem for 40 days. Can you imagine somebody walking, Simeon, I haven't seen you in a few years. You died 5 years ago. Wow, you look good. I saw them put you down in the grave. I saw them cover you up. But boy, do you look good today. Can you imagine how that must have had an impact on people? They saw these men and women. And many of them, you know, had just died recently. And so they knew they were dead. Some have been dead 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But some of those, like Abraham and all those, you know, boy, well, that's, they've been dead a long time. And Sarah and all of them, and they're walking in the streets of Jerusalem alive. Somebody said, you know, that's just like I was reading this morning in some information. And it was talking about the things about the Exodus. And it says 90%, and I don't know where they get this information, but 90% of the scholars today do not believe that the Exodus really happened. I thought, that's dumb. Yeah, but I mean, you know, who knows where the information come from, Joseph? You know, people write down lots of stuff, and it may or may not be true. I mean, I know, I mean, that's just like me. You go into the internet, and you can find some scholars in there that will tell you that what I teach is so far out. I mean, you know, they really have crucified me. But those of you that come to hear me, and those of you that have received your healings and your miracles, you don't think I'm crazy, do you? No. The scripture itself says that the Bible was written by God. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and with the call of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves, verse 17 and 18. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with him forever. So comfort and encourage each other with these words. Would that be something if it were to happen this week? That would be awesome. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying there is a possibility it could happen today. You know, it may happen next week. It may happen 10 years from now, but it's going to happen. Why is it going to happen? It's written in the book. I've heard Richard Eby on I don't know how many TBN programs after he died, and he was dead, you know, all day. And then whenever, anybody here ever heard of Richard Eby? Some of you have, okay. I watched him a lot, used to on TBN. But whenever he was killed, he fell off of a third floor in a house in Chicago. Fell all the way to the curb from about 30 feet in the air and hit right on his head, right on the curb, just busted his head wide open, brains went everywhere. He was dead. And of course, they hauled him down to the hospital, to the morgue, put him in a cooler, and called his wife and told him that he was deceased, that he had fell off of a platform and busted his head open, and he's dead. And so the Lord spoke to her and said, hey, Richard's not dead. I said, go claim his body. And so and she heard the Lord tell her, she heard a man tell her he's dead. But she heard the Lord tell her, he's alive. Just go claim his body, you know. So she goes to the hospital, and of course she has to fly from California all the way to Chicago. And Richard had two or three hospitals. He was a very wealthy man. And she came up there. When she gets there, she said, well, I've come to claim my husband. And they said, ma'am, he's dead. And she said, he's dead. Said, the Lord told me he was alive. And they said, well, you got some misinformation because he's very dead. And so she said, well, where is he? And she said, well, this nurse said, I'll take you. He's been in the cooler now for, what, 2 days or whatever it was. down in the basement of the hospital. So they go down there, they walk in the cooler, and she goes to his slab and she pulls it out. And when she pulls it out, Richard sets up. The nurse fainted. And the wife said, "Richard, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "Well, I've been with the Lord. Man, it's been an awesome experience." And he was totally well, you know. And so Richard told him, I mean, I've heard him tell about heaven, how wonderful it is and all those things. And he said, you want to make sure you go to this place? Because it was an awesome, beautiful place. The Lord had showed it to him. And then later, Richard went on a trip to Israel. And while he was in Lazarus' tomb, when he was over in Israel, he was standing there down, way down in that hole. And the light went out, one little light bulb down there so he could see. And the light went out. And he said, it turned pitch black. And I said, "What happened? Where's the light?" And the Lord said, "Richard, it's me, son. I'm fixing to take you on another trip." He said, "Lord, where are we going?" He said, "I'm taking you to hell." He said, "Lord, by what grounds can you take me to hell?" And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Son, I'm God. I can do anything I want to do." In other words, I just happen to be the boss, kid. He said, "I have showed you heaven, and you have done a good job telling all the people how wonderful heaven is. But now I'm going to take you to hell so you'll know what it's like, so you can go back and tell them how awful it is." And so Richard said he was in that place 5 minutes. And of course, you know, he said it seemed like eternity, but about 5 minutes. And then he came back and the Lord told him, said, "Now then, you've seen it, you've heard it, you've smelled it, you know what it's like. I want you to tell people. They don't want to come here." And so he told that story. I've heard him tell it many times. And then he said, "And the Lord also told me that I would not die, but I would be taken in the rapture." Well, see, we misunderstand the rapture. Everybody is taken in the rapture. That's the only way we can go. If I were to drop dead right this second, it would be my rapture. You know, don't y'all worry about coming over here and try to raise me from the dead, because as I'm leaving and I'm going to heaven, I'm going to say, "Y'all touch that body. You know, y'all forget it. I'm out of here. I'm going home." I really ain't ready to go yet. So I guess I wouldn't be too hard on y'all if you prayed for me once or twice or something and brought me back from the dead. As long as it glorified the Lord, right, Joseph? Amen. Yeah, as long as it glorified the Lord. So comfort and encourage each other with these words.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled "God Has Called Us to Be Holy," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.